نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Upon arrival here, Idrikli, as Bennett in 1970, and the taking of the control of this body, of this individual that was 25 years old, not as much use to us, I went, and if you read the book, I went to State Street amongst the Sunnis and sat there and listened to their teachers. Hafiz Mahbub, a Pakistani, Hussein, a Sudanese, Saladin, Palestine. I sat there in State Street with them, gathered on Thursday nights with them and listened. And said, no, there is no discipline here. This is on this Baka Tasa. This is Allahu Akbar, what can be any Allah, and these people ain't get no direction, they don't even know what these men are talking about, and these Pakistanis think, or do, they don't even know what they're talking about, and the Sudanese don't care, they just can't get sandwiches, because they're starving. Or their students, and they gotta get somebody to help them pay for their student loan. So I left there, and I went on to the Morris Science Temple out there in Queens, with a brother named Salahuddin, who's a Rosicrucian, Astari, he was everything he could mean, very confused. But he took me to the Morris Science Temple, he had his special on and stuff, and I sat amongst them. And I listened about the noble Jew Ali story. He's a prophet. He wrote his own Quran, copied out of the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus by a man named Jesus. And I said, nah, ain't no discipline here. Can't do it here. All right? So I left it. Started listening to and reading Muhammad Speaks and listening to tapes of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And in ancient Islam, wasn't no Farrakhan, he didn't have no power back then. I roamed around the streets of Harlem and I encountered a subculture of wannabe Native Islamists, but wanted to still use reef and wear what they wanted to smoke and see hip hop. It's called 5% at the time. Now they call them gods and goddesses and kings and all kind of names. They didn't bring stuff with mean things. I listen to that rhetoric. There's no shelter there. No shelter in Native Islam, there's no shelter in the 5% nation. I went off to the Israelites, Beth Shalom in Brooklyn. Beth Israel in Brooklyn. And I went amongst them. We used to gather there in their shelter. We'd go in there, and I'd bring a small band of people with me, and some of them are still here today. And I sat amongst them, and I listened to their Kohen, or their rabbis, whatever name they want to use. And I saw them getting drunk at a party, and busting and fighting with each other at the party. One of the Israelite temples in Chicago came in, and the Brooklyn community, they started dancing and grinding on each other, women. And I was sitting there, and I said, no. This ain't your place to do it. Question is to do what, man? To prepare a group of people, 100
144,000 of them preparing for the coming. What coming, man? Christians call it the rapture. Muslims call it the return. Jews don't know what to call it. They just, most of the so-called black Israelite Hebrews are calling themselves Hebrews, but if you talk to them, they're really Christians. The ones on 42nd Street, just like the Isaac brothers, jumping up and down, don't know a lick of Hebrew. Get on television, you're all embarrassed about white folks who speak broken Hebrew. You've seen it. But they always talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Ain't no Hebrew, ain't no Jews in Israel, or ain't no ancient Israelites talking about no man named Jesus. No, that ain't happened. Yahweh first talked about Jesus, then he became Jesus. So those people are all Christians. Wasn't no shelter there. Where was I to find a place on earth or a culture that you can hide off into the corner and groom a certain amount of people to breed kids that, as the scripture says about Noah, would be perfect in their generation, that would not be touched by the what? By the harlot. Where could you do that at? So I looked and I said, the only religion that has so many dumb restrictions on it, so many unresearched facts, that were made to look like facts because nobody's researching them, is Islam. But you have to grab a specific, you have to be particular about how you use it. So I said, how do I create a cult that would isolate itself from everybody? The Sunnis would leave us alone, the Nation of Islam would leave us alone, the Christians would leave us alone, and the Israelites and Hebrews would leave us alone. I said, well, the first thing is the symbol should be different. So you make a 6-pointed star and a crescent and all. That'll do it. Call them the Nubian Islamic Hebrews. That'll do it. Now I teach the word in Nubian. I get the word Nubian born in America. Now I gave birth to the word Nubian in America. Now there's a million groups, singing groups, and companies using it. Now to get this known, to get their attention on this, to get more business in it. So we moved on out to Coney Island. I thought that was far enough away in Brooklyn, in an isolated area with nobody to know where we was at. And we gathered there. And the people who had met on the way, the adults who had met on the way in my research to find out where to do this here, where to set the enclosed garden, followed me. They said, I had Salah Adin, who half Ansar, half Morris Sanders, half Robert Kuchin, half Ashtar, and anything else he can get his hands on to mess his soul up. He followed me. Along came another guy, a little cuckoo, named Sadiq. He was a reject from the military. Once in Dar es Salaam on 5200 Street, doing nothing because of his laziness and shittiness, he came trotting on amongst us. Next thing I know, this guy following me. Now I can go on and give you a whole bunch of them. I have a whole band. And I started saying by looking at them, this group are faithful but not true. They won't last. They'll serve the purpose, but they won't last. Now we have to breed out of these people, these children, to prepare for the rapture. Now I knew I had 30 years. You with me? From the year 1970, which would bring you to the year 2000, to get this job done. I mean, the children would be around 19 to 21. You buy all that? By now, by the year 2000, if the process is completed. Moved out to Coney Island, had these people, said I can't support all these people, just teaching them. We had Jews, we had little trinkets we were peddling on the street. We kept having run-ins with the Nation of Islam, who couldn't understand our teachings. 5% who couldn't take us. Sunni Muslims who couldn't deal with us. Israelites who couldn't deal with us. Then, you know, we became the hated group, which was appropriate for what I wanted. Why? Because then the people would stay away from us and call us crazy. We had big bones in our ear. We wore a long black robes with a big green two-pointed star crescent and pumpkin in front of our chest, and black turbans or long or high black tarbushes, which combined everybody's little culture. We had African gatherings, sisters wore African garb, they did not wear veils. We played drums to keep everybody happy, because you had to have chicken and stuff and music to keep black folk happy. And we gathered, and then they'd ask questions, not answer questions. We start to build. And this thing grew. Nubian Islamic Hebrews. It was called pure Sufi at first. Then we just called Ansar. Then it became Ansar Allah. He got it back. Alright? So by now, the population had outgrown Coney Island. People out there with the nation of Islam was intimidated by us. Soon after that time, the government had set up all these model city programs. The Ford Foundation was funding people to drop out of school and sit in storefronts in different environments and pretend they're educating black kids. Meanwhile, they just got a lot of black people doing the early 70s to quit their jobs and get in these model city programs. Remember them? And that's the cesspool of debate for crazy 5% Native Islam. Every time we be on our way to try to go make some money to feed this kid, we bump into them. They waste our time trying to debate. But we bump into the Yoruba. Anybody want to debate with us? And I had to step out front, clean that plow real quick, and step back in before I get too noticed. So I back each one of us by putting forth a question to them that their leader would know I'm not to be trifled with. I bumped into Minister Farrakhan way back then. He was downtown Brooklyn teaching in college, giving a lecture, and I was an audience, and I said, well, if Allah is a man who came to permanent and he is arm, leg, leg, head, or A-L-L-A-H, and all that, he's a physical being only, there is no spookism, no spiritualism, no divine mind, none of that stuff, then what did I say? What was he standing on when he created the planet Earth? That question made them leave. All right, leave them alone. When I dealt with the 5%, I said, well, if Clarence 13X is a law and was once in the Nation of Islam, then the Nation of Islam boasts the honor of Muhammad as the prophet, correct? Then your Allah was a follower of a prophet, and that's backwards. Shouldn't it be the prophet is a follower of Allah? How did Clarence 13X become a law from following a man messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? So they said, well, leave him alone. I bumped into him like that. I said, well, in the scripture, King, he said he's going to wipe the tribe of Israel out of his sight. I would say, what is out of the sight of God? Or Elohim, or Adonai, or Allah, or Yahweh? What is out of the sight of Allah? I mean, he sees all things. He's a seer. What? Leave him alone. I went to more science devil, and I said, excuse me, this is the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus, written by a man named Levi. Could you open your Quran and start reading it? He said, now, it is a strange coincidence that this exact same verses in here that's in your Quran, and it was written before it, according to the prophecy. Now, you can say, well, they copied that. You can't get anything you want, but it didn't help him, so he shouldn't have. What? Leave him alone. I went to the Yoruba temple. Baba clergyman at the time, North Carolina community. It was on Manhattan, huh? Banging on drugs and stuff. Remember the situation? And they talked about a rock called Shango with shells and with eyes, you know. I had to eliminate all this stuff with my people so I could get them to go to the next level. I took off my ring, which was a 6-pointed star crescent and punk at the time, and put it down and said, tell your God to move that. If he's all powerful, he comes with lightning and thunder and makes noise and he can hurt you, won't hurt this ring. If he moved the ring, I'll submit. I'm joining you right now. Go ahead. He said, well, our God don't do stuff like that. Well, don't do stuff like what? Move ring or throw spears at people. Well, don't throw the spear at him. He ain't got to move. That was the end of the army. Right? The scene was set. As I was going through these different stages, I changed my name about every 2 years to keep the attention off of me. And I said, oh, I'm Imam Isa. Well, I'm Dr. Imam Isa. Oh, I'm Isa Abdullah Muhammad. I'm Isa Abdullah Mubarak. Whatever you want me to be, just leave us alone. So I set the stage. None of the teachers wanted to come out again. So this guy asked those kind of questions, you know, that get up under your skin. Like right now, I ask the question, what was Master Broad's butt like? That's my way of saying, I got more questions if y'all don't leave me alone. I got some more stuff that if I keep throwing out there, your congregation can go off where he got arrested and they can get the information of Asheville, get access to his arrest file and your attorney, and then look on there and see what kind of blood type Master Farad Muhammad had, and investigate that blood type and tell what race he comes from. And we end that Arab stuff, we end that Persian, we end that Syrian stuff. We find out exactly that guy who got arrested that you lost is Florida. Just leave it alone, so I can keep going, but I'm leaving you alone. The last thing I did is superimpose the faces for you to say, stop playing with me, because I'm not the joke. I'm not the joking one. I'm not the fake one. I'm not the dumb leaders of the 5%ers out there just out there for the fun. I'm not this job. I'm trying to pull into the job. This is the real thing. This is all that and a bag of potato chips. With tax. This is real. You niggas out there, plastic. You're out there setting up stages and propping yourself and looking like a star, but it's plastic. It ain't real. Because you ain't teaching nothing. You ain't preparing people for the rapture. When that shit comes, ain't no joke. I had to go off and find the dumbest environment to merge myself into with this congregation that I would have a shield against. And Islam was perfect for it. Because it had a following that run around cube-shaped buildings, make seven circles, kiss a black stone, wave at another black stone, go on over to a well, drink a glass of water from a well that Hagar and Ishmael was supposed to be in, leave there and run to a space where Hagar ran back and forth, go on off the side, spend the night on a mountaintop in tents, collect a certain amount of pebbles, go over to a space and little round circle with a little rock mount and throw stones at it and call it the devil. And then move on from there and grab a goat and cut his throat. You understand? Cut his throat and call it a sacrifice. And then cut a lock of your hair, each person who's in Mecca, while you wear two sheets around you. You understand? And then launch you back on home. Now, if that ain't voodooism, or some form of witchcraft, or some type of paganistic ritual or practice, I don't know what it is. But these people walked around as if they were right. And to this very day, these fools, some Sunni Muslims, just the other day, as you heard, tried to kidnap the ex-president of the United States, Nixon, a Negro Sunni Muslim. Also, some Negro, we ain't got nothing to do with them Egyptian Arabs, Turkish, will call themselves Egyptian over there, call themselves Muslims, were marching alongside this blind demonic chef on his way. While they're Americans, American citizens, born here, got their family, and this fool's trying to go to America where their families are at. And they see that as justified. He ain't born here, he's over there in Egypt. They threw his butt out of Egypt. And then, he's like the Pope. The Pope travels around inside a big old glass tube now, waving his hand through a glass tube, and then declaring God is with him, for he is an intercessor of God on earth. But with this God, there is no protection from the stray bullet. When I see him, God of mine, waving his hand, I say, you are scared. That's your problem. You won't come out and stand in front of people because you are scared. Oh yeah, this crazy boy, all those crazy people are going to shoot you. Well, if you believe in this spook God that has power and contact with you, that he can save you, then the bullet would go anywhere but at you. But if some Turkish man, another stupid Muslim, was shooting, stepped up and tried to shoot the Pope. That was just a couple of years ago. Not tried to shoot the Pope. He did shoot the Pope. Shows one thing about the Muslims, their stupid killingness, sickness, and something about the Pope. You understand? You see Farrakhan marching out, 1,000 bodyguards all posting around him. Where's your protection, man? Don't tell me Allah's up there protecting you and you walk around with 15,000 bodyguards marching all over the place. These are people who say they have faith in some power in the universe that is the protector or is opposite of Allah. El Hafiz, the God of you. He guards you, he protects you. You understand what I'm saying? So I found a very safe haven in the religion of Islam, because it was so, the people are so stupid then. They don't even see what they're doing. I said, well, this is a place to be. So I took this the Nubian culture about ancestors of Sudan, because with that alone, we can say black. We can justify it, we're black. And put up the symbol of the spear. Got it with me? And the question of the ancestors of the Sudan. And it had a black red and green, which was a line that Mark Gaddafi had got from this brother named Dr. Dos Ali, who was also an Ansar, who gave him the red, black, and green flag of the Ansar that took the crest of the sail. And the Mahdi was signed in the 18th century, and he got over there in the 19th, the very part of the 20th century. We know where it came from. Perfect flag. Now, Father, I know with all the Arabic on it, we had years ago like this. With a 6-pointed star and a crescent, with just two complicated people kept over there. What's that? What's that mean? I mean, it's just too heavy for them. So we just went simple. You missed that. The spear is Africa. The president is Islam. The black wind rays is our cause. You got it? Fine. So we put on veil. We took off of our African attire, our akbars and our fools and our gilets and feathers and black hymns and black holes. We started wearing white robes of the Sudanese ansar, but we did not pick up the toll of the Sudanese women, because it was chiffon and see-through and expensive. needless to say, so was the cotton as time went on. And we started dressing in veils and cloaked ourselves and had that cult type of look. Eventually moved into Bushwick Avenue and settled in. And there I had an enclosed garden. We gated it off. The elder and visitor was Chef Daoud Ahmed Faisal from State Street, the founder of Islam in America here, and the Islamic mission in America, recognized he used to come there religiously. Because I used to visit State Street, he used to tell the Sunnis, that's the man y'all should be following, point at me. And all they do is like, oh, gee, fuck their teeth and start out. He's an old cackle, man. He's a fanatic, that bone in his nose, he got a bone in his hand, a ring in his nose. I laughed, because I knew this day was done. They didn't know what they were talking about. Where are they now? Where is Usherhood in Philadelphia? Where is Yassini Mosque or Darul Islam in Brooklyn? Where is Umma Party in Washington? Where is the Hamas Mosque in Washington? Where are those 5%? Where are the true followers of Elijah Muhammad? Where are the people that said that we were merely a schism and we would pass or fade away? Where are they now? They approached us on the street and threatened us. They can beat us up if we continue to propagate, get off our block, out of our neighborhood. And my brothers would come back and say, what do we do? I'd say, move out the way. Because time is on our side. Because they teaching everybody the Quran. Truth will last or prevail. And falsely will perish or fail. So if that is a fact, then just be the last attribute of their God, a civilization. And we were. And here we are, still thriving, and they're gone. Let me go back to the point, son. So the temperature was right. The atmosphere was right. We were crazy. People stayed away from us. They're them crazy ansars that schism. What they call them? Anybody remember their name? Oh, they worship their teacher. He's God to them. They, like they wasn't worshiping Muhammad, but that was okay. As long as they ain't black, it's cool. So, I started raising kids. Kids started being born. In a circle, we had a family. We gathered. We prayed together. We bickered all night. I said, Islam is an appropriate place to hide, because I knew that this is not information, but to be fair and to never be able to be called a liar, I said up front, listen, I came giving you what you want so that you would learn to want what I really have to give. I said that over and over again. All through the years, I looked at that congregation in Brooklyn, and I'd give a hook on Friday, and I'd say, y'all are faithful, but y'all are not true. You will not last. Very few of you. I said, many are called, and few are chosen. Most of y'all will be out in the streets slamming me and everything that disciples of Jesus did. Understand that? I told them, one day y'all will be out of these veils. I only have the veils for my own reasons. Be patient. Right? I said, one day we will move out of this city and we'll move into an environment conducive to trees and raising kids in a safe environment. I said this for years. I told the brothers yesterday, they said, well, we're like Hebrews, why don't we drink? I said, we can't drink. We can't get drunk. And the moment you get drunk, then you violate your own divine right. You can call it a sin in Christianity, Judaism, call it anything you want. But the moment you succumb to that intoxicant, you reduce yourself, like Noah, from a divine being. If you read Genesis chapter 9 closely, you'll see where it says he fell from something. He lost something. He lost his divinity. He lost his supreme being and became less than a human being when he became drunk and lost control of his own faculties. But to sit and sip wine at dinner, drink it down or whatever, it's fine. But to go and have a bottle of wine in your back pocket and just say, wow, man, did you see that plane go by? Yeah, I'll drink to that. It's not what they meant. To celebrate the Shabbat, which is the day that the Anunnakis, which I'll get into later, the Elohim, had desisted from their work when they had bred you to do the work for them. You follow that? And when you got blessed by them so that you didn't have to do the work, you also kept the Sabbath. It was their Sabbath in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 again. But how you got into it is because you, if you are sitting here and indeed ascending from Seth to Enos, they blessed you and gave Seth over to Adam. And then bred from Seth the first Enos human being. Because if we can't, you see, the Elohim claimed Seth as theirs. And then Adam claimed Seth by saying, here, to my image is after my life. Then he said, fine, then his child will not be an Elohim. His child was Enos, a human being. And because you were disobedient to us, and even questioned me claiming the child, you no longer have access to us. I, as one of his incarnations, a Elohim suggestion, have stand your little miniature test for 26 years now. You have been trying to question me from 1970 about everything that you can go off as black devil, some of you, and try to trap me. You have, and I watch you, I know you, I know your line of questions, and I know who your father is, regardless of the color of your skin. Don't talk to me about white devils. Talk to me about black devils. And talk to me about some of those white angels who's trying to help black people today. Don't be gathering those little groups and call all white people devils just because it makes you feel like a god when you ain't nothing but a god darn fool. A blind man being led by other blind men who know nothing about reality. This is the science of the universe I'm teaching. This ain't no Mickey Mouse out of the Bible, out of the Quran. God, I finished the Bible and the Quran in those years. Cover to cover, broke it down. Any story you ask, I explained it to you. Now I'm taking you to the next level of it, and I repeat, none of your teachers can come this way. They can stop at Egyptology. They can stop at Islamic history and theology and Christianity. They will not follow me up to this level of the birth of the planet and your universe. Then I'll take you free in information that they only imagine. You follow that? If you are ready to go. I personally am amongst the Elohim, signed the council that voted that they push the button on this light. Understand that? I oppose the existence of this planet and people. But less than 3 years ago, I cried before that same council to give you a chance understand that? And they said, you must teach them to direct. So they're not going to believe it. They're not going to accept it. Then in order for them to be picked up by the ships by the year 2000, they must be informed, because you're supposed to be raised up 144,000 of you. Just like the members that manned the first ship was 144,000 with 24 elite. You must be lifted up. There should have been those kids that I had isolated under the cloak of Islam and in that cult that people left alone and hoped that you'd breed them and raise them. But no, you smuggled in cannon. You smuggled in movies. A host of demons came in and married all the brothers in the mob, including myself, and did everything they could to pull the kids into the streets. They put them in public schools where they got exposed to rap music. They got exposed to novels. Then the ballet dancers stopped. And then the Quranic and the Zikrin classes stopped. You with me? And then they were satisfied because they had tricked us. Because we were looking for what? White devils. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed devils. And we listened to the way the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught it and the way Noble Du Ali taught it and taught it the same way. And both of them missed the black devils. That was in their own midst. Because in the death of Malcolm X, they found out a black cop was his right-hand bodyguard and gave him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation that could have been the result of his death. So anybody knows a man with bullet wounds is not supposed to get mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. If you're a police officer, you've been trained in that. But he was a black man. You go back and check his Malcolm X story, they give his name and everything. In the Nation of Islam, they found out. In the FOI, standing next to the Supreme Captain, Reverend Sharif, right? They were black devils. They didn't call them devils, they called them traitors and munafiqs, spies. They had all kinds of names for them. Amongst the Sunni Muslims, they found that they had been infiltrated by black devils. The Black Panthers, the Young Lords, African pioneer movement of the 60s, or the revolution that was bred out of the 50s, they found out that some of their leaders that are walking around today leading Islamic groups again and still cops in disguise. I want them right there in Atlanta. He used to be the head of a big black revolutionary movement back there. Burn, baby, burn, he said, as Rap Brown. Now he's some Muhammad al-Amin of some big Islamic group that sets out to kill people. In the name of Allah. And call that righteousness. That's a black devil. Ron Coringa, Leroy Jones, Stogie Carmichael, Angela Davis, Huey P. Newton, Eldridge Cleaver, what's some of the other ones? Bobby Seale. Come to find out the brothers and sisters that were leading the revolution in the 60s are still alive. Are still alive and walking the streets free. Some of them are even trying to start new organizations like Leroy Jones. Those are the black devils that undermine Marcus Garvey, set Marcus Garvey up. Those are the black devils who set Noble Du Ali up. Those are the black devils who set the Honorable Elijah Muhammad up. Because if 5% is only paying any cents, those black devils are the ones who assassinated Clarence 13X. We're so busy calling the white man the devil, building our merits and props on that, we forget it. We're surrounded by devils. The only time you call him the devil is when you go to try to get your driver's license and you're in a line and this one old black woman goes out her way to make your day miserable. Or you're in a welfare office with a social worker, or it's your parole officer, or three cops come to your house and a black woman is spending so much time trying to, well, let's look in his bedroom, let's look under there, and the white woman saying, come on, this is the wrong place, well, let's check him anyway, you know. Well, you rope those things off, and what you call those people? Angry Negroes, Mad Negroes, Uncle Tom. right? But you never called them black devils because you never wanted to admit that there was a such thing as a black devil, because then you had to start questioning your own nature. But now we know there's black devils in here right now. They're not sitting here for the same reason you are, to get this divine information, to make a link back to your Elohim father, the mother who are in heaven, to get out of here. They're sitting there hoping they can track me. They want to offer me some book written by a white man on science and come back and ask me some stupid scientific questions about stuff that's in your century, and I come from almost 100 centuries ahead of you, and always have it. And you have not been able to trip, trap, or catch me in any of your little tricks, just like they couldn't trip, trap, or catch Sananda, Jesus, 2,000 years ago. He made a fool out of every time. And every time you try, like your little stupid cult, I say, oh, you want to play games, huh? You really think I'm a Muslim? You really think I care about Islam and worship in the Kaaba? You've been disappointed. That's not who I am. That's my cover to get the truth to my people. I'm not following no white Arabs. I'm worshiping no rocks and no buildings and no monuments and pass a little beads through my finger because I believe in the stupid Buddhist tradition you captured into Islam. Don't make me mad, I'll tell you about yourself. So you let some fool Bilal Phillips write a book about me. I had to stop what I was doing, which is addressing the Jesus story, and address you. You satisfied now? I wrote a book called 360 Questions to Ask a Sunni Muslim. You haven't been able to answer questions. Don't you wish you could have left me alone? I wrote an apology to the Nation of Islam, not because I really believe Master Farah Muhammad. I didn't care about it. I knew he had a blood type, and I know his blood type, so I know what he was. Because I don't want to put the pictures out that nobody else has. So if I had his police file, you know I know his blood type. And you know I'm smart enough to look at his blood type and trace out where he really came from. Don't play with me. But no, I put the apology out and try to be nice and say, all right, listen, I spoke Elijah Muhammad. What did you say? You saw him on the flying horse? Okay. Farrakhan saw him on the flying horse. I spoke Elijah Muhammad on the flying horse with a dream, in a dream state. All right, I'm sorry. Okay, go on about it. At least you got people, they're not drinking, they're not smoking, they're not out there cussing and trying to hurt each other. At least they're trying to do something for themselves as a people. Get up off that little racism stuff and you'll be all right. Let's move on. Watch out for them black devils inside there. Not blocking all the white folks, because some of them are better than them niggas you got sitting next to you. That's true, that's true. Let's move on. No, couple of fools. Farrakhan never had touched it. He was smart enough to leave it alone. He's an intelligent man. But some of the fools, see? Your imam apologized. That means that he ain't writing exact. That's what he did. I thought you said a long time ago that there were three Qurans. Now in the apology you said, so you forced me to put a film out and superimpose the bases on top of each other. Now, I wouldn't have done that. I was leaving you alone. I was going about my business. I was not going to take the pride in trying to destroy a black nation and make myself look good. I was saying humbly, I'm sorry for attacking this black nation. We shouldn't do that. We need to say as close as we can about our facts. I don't care what Farrakhan believes. I don't care what Farrakhan feels in his heart. I do care what they teach other black children and other white children and other Latino children and other Oriental children. I do care what they teach the children on the planet Earth. But I will leave you alone because I'm watching you close to see how you're taking it and what path you're taking them. It ain't dangerous yet. I knew they'll find their way here in due time. It's better there than sitting amongst them Sunnis worshiping them Egyptians or them Saudi Arabians or them Pakistanians being changed into homos. That was better. No, but some fools who don't know how to leave stuff alone got to come back out and ask me the question that I'm purposely trying to avoid. You follow? So now you forced me to put out a video. You know the name of it? That's right, for the Elohim. And superimpose the faces so you can see that Ford, God, Ford, Wallace D. Farrar, and all of them are the same man. You can't get around superimposing a human face that you deny. The lips, the eyes are here, and everything matches up. And I didn't say anything after that. I'm willing again to leave you alone. Stop trying to interfere with my mission. You understand? Mine is on. I can stand in front of any one of your teachers and tear them apart in just 5 minutes. And ain't not one of you can come out and dare stand against me. You can send out some nut from your congregation who thinks he's heavy, and I won't waste my time. I'll send one of my sons. But if you got somebody from the top who wants to talk from Dr. Ben and Farrakhan one-on-one, don't be sending them some subsidiary so you can have an excuse for saying, what did he say? You leave him with me too long, he won't come back.
Right.
He'll be right here with us. So you'll see where the truth is. They can't see that. They're caught up in the God complex.
Do you believe that Earth is being visited by beings from other worlds? Do you believe that these beings are far more intelligent and far more advanced than those of the planet Earth? If you are one of these people that are sensitive to those truths about the people or beings from other galaxies, then these tapes are for you as distributed by the Holy Tabernacle Ministries.
In Kuwait, Kanuwa, America's in it, Russia's in it, France is in it, who else is in it? Canada, Germany, Pakistan, Nigeria, all these demons have come together. Black, white, Oriental, Latino, it don't make no difference. Devils come in all colors, shapes, and sizes, speaking every language and every religion. That's their favorite thing, religion. That's been set up. Their power has been set up, one worldism is in place. Now they just say a thing. We're going into a country and we're going to take it. Our first step is revelation. Nobody better not buy or sell to that country who does not live under the mark of the beast. What do they call it today? Sanctions. When they say you cannot sell to Iraq and Iraq can't buy from nobody. Revelation. They did it in Somalia. They did it in Sudan. They're getting ready to lift it in Cuba. They're getting ready to lift it with the Palestinians. Because Yasser Arafat, as I told you a year ago, when he had that plane crash, I said, watch him change. Did I not? Well, he had that plane crash. He's the only one that pulled out that plane crash. And I saw him on television, they had him on that stretcher. I said, that's the end of Yasser Arafat, and that's the end of the PLO. When he comes out of that hospital, he's going to be a dark child person. Because they know how to remove portions of the brain. But they remove from you the pituitary gland in the hippocampus region of the brain in the cerebellum. And it cut off your four higher senses so you're no longer in contact with the Elohim 6,000 years ago. That's a long time, huh? Cut off your divinity. Well, they do that. Nowadays, they simply call it lobotomy. The pituitary gland is hooked up to your appendix and to your tonsils. Vibration, kundalini, iron, all open you up. They open the head up in the story of the removal of the rib. Why did they remove the rib? They didn't have to remove a rib. A man has 24 rib bones and a woman has 24 rib bones to this very day. That's a scientific fact, and don't tell me it's back. Because they were grown-ups, not kids. They removed the bone because the blood is formed in the bone. No matter. So they know to go in there and find the purest blood or perfect generation or perfect genealogy for your DNA and your RNA. That's why they use the word rib. And they took out Adam's blood or Zakar's blood out the marrow of his bone and injected it into his mate to breed Eve or the cable. And at the same time, Nagal, the great scientist, opened the head and went down into the brain and pulled out the gland from the lower part of the front lobe of the brain where all your psychic follow? They're in place. The devil has had his empire set in place. The water is now poisoned. The East Coast, as I prophesied, is starting to go under. Every year, something new is happening on the East Coast. Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Virginia, last year was New York. The East Coast is going on. Everything I predicted in the book, it has or will. It had the earthquake in California. Though no one believes me until it happened, had them call me. I thought you said there was going to be an earthquake. Why was on the phone? It was happening on television. It ain't funny. It's funny to y'all, ain't funny to me, because if I was white, I know they'd believe me. Remember, because I'm a newbie, everything I say, you got to sit there and try to pick it apart. So the ship that comes for you will take you for that 1,000 years, or then you will come back as King of Kings, Masters of Masters, they call it Lord of Lords. You will be groomed. They will replace the gland. Your eyes will be open. You will become like one eye again. You know what I'm saying? You'll be coming forth as Elohim. And when you come back with the ship, what's going to happen is the devil, who we only can bind with a chain in hell, will be let out of his prison cell, literally, and come back to unite all of his people again. You understand that? And then they're going to set out to try to destroy you. And when they go up to climb the mount, they call it, right, of the Holy One, the elders will shoot from the ship, fire from the sky, and destroy him and take him, it says in the book of Revelation, him, his false preachers, that means his imam, his rabbi, his ministers, his pastor, and all the titles that they take, with their false religious Bible, Quran, Old and New Testament teachers, and cast them and him for faith in him and not to. Into a lake of fire they call sulfur. In the Bible, brimstone. Look it up. Which means it's a physical fire. You understand that? Cast them into it. Who else? Then, the false prophets. And everybody who chose to live in his image. All of you people who want to be white folks. Who want to be super Michael Jackson. I mean, Michael Jackson wants to be white. The niggas who want to be Michael Jackson is black. People like who want to be Prince is black. And his Oriental trying to be Michael Jackson, trying to be Prince. All of them will be cast with you. Understand what I'm saying? Into that lake of fire where they will be wiped out forever. And he said, and I will wipe away this earth and this heaven. And I will bring in a new earth and a new heaven. He says, he feels sorry for those were not a part of second death. You follow that? The first death takes place when they leave and you are undying. From 2000 to 2030, you'll be undying. No guidance, no leadership. It's already started. The devil runs rampant in his power. He has knocked the Rodney King in the head and nobody can do nothing about it. I can send a fleet of men, and I'm only talking about Rodney King or something. I'm in America. You was in Africa, you'd have to be hearing about Nigerian police doing that to white tourists. If you was in Trinidad or Barbados, you hear about them doing it to white people that they're visiting, knocking them in the head, and the government over there don't help them. You're only talking about here, so you launch everything about what happens to Negroes here. Come to find out Rodney King ain't nothing but a black devil. I'm the first to have told you that. Now you see, since the incident, you think he's straightened up? He can't, because he's a black devil by nature. And his whole job was to cause the riots and all them people hurt. That was his job. Now he's out doing the same devilishment he was doing when he got arrested. It was all a plot of the devil to try to start a riot. And I've been telling y'all for the last 3 years, the white man who rules now is trying to start a riot. He's trying to get it right. Well, they got it hooked up, but you were not stupid enough to say it. So he then killed and beat up 4 or 5 other people since then. But you're too caught up. That's what they said. Angels just said, man, when the Almighty spoke to him, he said, man's going to be so involved in this world, he ain't even know when he's there. Angel of death is lurking over you right now. But you're so caught up in some things you don't even realize. Caught up with such a petty, tricky thing.
Clean in their bitch. Now I'm finna show the lean in their bitch. rip. I lean and get lit. Lima bean sick. I take breath. The opposite of Primatine Mist. I ride 26 and let my 9 screen flip. Trophy watching Oprah Mac 90 being clipped. Super black fella, nigga, nah, it ain't tilt. With Lucky Charms down a man, but nah, it ain't flip. Hey, boom. Okay, then I let my shoulder lean. And I bet my car talk. And I bet my motor clean. Suicide door, brown rover look like Pokemon. Everybody know me in the club, call they smoking me. Troll, hoes scoping me. Ice crumple, bump a return. 100 carat hammer, fro for an eon. Red, black, and white shit, now I'm riding Dion. Putting them lights up in my rim, now I'm riding neon. I cars look like Creon. Hold no on the man though. I can shoulder lean. I don't know how to do it though.
Then you bounce right to left and let your shoulder lean.
Hey, let your shoulder lean.
Let your show.